Welcome to the new season of the Live Your Spa Life Show. The Spa and Spa Life stands for Seek Power Always, that divine power within you to do what you're here to do. The theme for this season is Freedom Fighter. Amazing people like you share ways to ensure your freedom physically, financially, spiritually, and in your relationships to create a world-class life. In these times of uncertainty, it's time for you to move past the distractions and start trusting yourself more through your God-given knowingness. No one truly knows better what's best for you than you. In this season, you'll have plenty of examples of people choosing their best life and giving a voice of freedom to those who are also looking to have their best life. Thank you for sharing your precious time with us and being part of the Spa Life Conversation. With us today is Dr. Tracy C. Jones, author, speaker, veteran, publisher, and podcaster. Dr. Tracy C. Jones is the president of Tremendous Leadership. Tracy is a passionate lifelong learner whose career spans top positions in five major areas: the military, semiconductor industry, defense and federal contracting, and publishing. She is a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy, a decorated veteran who served the first Gulf War and Bosnia War, earned an MBA in global management, and a PhD in leadership studies. Tracy, thank you for your service and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Diane. It's absolutely tremendous to be here with you and your listeners.
Thank you. Well, I'd love to jump in here that you've authored 11 titles and five of them are children's books, and you use rescue pets to teach character development for our next generation of leaders. What led to this passion project?
Well, when I first came back to run Tremendous Leadership, everybody kept saying to me, well, you have to write a book, you have to write a book. And as a publisher, I thought, no, I publish other people's books. There's so many good books out there. What do I have to offer? And of course, my father, our founder, Charlie Tremendous Jones, wrote a book called Life is Tremendous back in 1967 that has sold millions of copies and has never gone out of print. So who am I? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know how to do a lot of things, but there's so much good leadership stuff out there. So everybody kept saying, you have to write a book, you have to write a book. And Diane, I took over the business and I'm putting out these leadership lessons that I've learned to the universe and crickets. Okay. But whenever I would put a picture of one of my rescue dogs up online saying, Mr. Blue sniffed out another tremendous title, I would get like a ton of engagement. So I was lamenting to someone the one day about, you know what? People care more about what my dog has to say than what I have to say. And he said, why don't you write your book from the dog's voice? Use your dog as a muse. And I'm like, of course. So my first book, True Blue Leadership, The Top 10 Ways to Lead Your Pack, was written by my first rescue dog, Mr. Blue, who, for our listeners out there that have found a dog that has changed their life, or cat. I have five cats, but this dog, I adopted him in 2001 when I was departing the military, going through divorce, and everything that I thought was going to be my life was gone. And I found this little pup in a field and the rest is history. And I just found a new joy. So I wrote that. And then I adopted a second dog, Ruby Red, and her book is called Saucy Aussie Living, Top 10 Ways to Get a Second Leash on Life. And everybody kept looking at True Blue Leadership and saying, well, I want my child to read it. And I'm like, no, it's for adults. Work like a dog. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Dealing with life's vacuum cleaners. And then I thought, why can't I write it as a children's version? So I took that and made that, because life's lessons are scalable. It's just context. Right. So then came From Underdog to Wonder Dog. All right. And then I got Indigo, who was my third rescue, and he's a Corgi Sheltie with a square shape. So then came Boxcar Indy, Square Dog in a Round World. Boxcar Indy goes to Doggy World, which we published with the credit unions about financial literacy. And then my fourth dog was a wild terrier from Austin, Texas named Roscoe. And his book was for preschoolers and the terrible twos. And it was called No, No Roscoe. So it just kind of went from there.
I love it. I love it so much. You know, it's so funny how there's different times where we feel like we are, you know, stuck in a place and you know you have a lot to share, but the medium might not be there. And there may be just little tweaks in different areas. And, you know, this is like
part of that conversation about having freedom. Like, we don't know where we can break open into that freedom. And our choices are so much bigger than we think they are right in front of us. And, you know, Tracy, I know you talk a lot about helping people find their true calling. And, you know, in a time and the place right now in the world where people are swayed in so many different directions and, you know, finding out why they're actually here and what they're about. How do you help people to not only identify their true calling, but then to step into it?
Well, I love that your podcast is really about you, what you believe, and living in that joy every day, because that is the antithesis. That is really quite revolutionary, Diane, in today's culture. So what we really work with people and say, and only the person can do this, is first of all, you have to know what your core convictions and your core values are. You know, there's an old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that is truly what is going on in the world. You say swayed, I say they're led about by the nose ring. They're like sheep herded left and right. And until you understand your core convictions, this is the way your life is going to be. And people are like, oh, well, you're so rigid. No, not rigid. When you know what you believe, then you can live in peace. And my father always said that there's only three decisions in life you're ever going to make. And people are thinking, well, I did three before I even got out of bed. And he's like, who you're going to live your life with, what are you going to live your life in or doing, and who are you going to live your life for? And until you narrow those things down, nail them down, Napoleon Hill called it definiteness of purpose. What do you want? What's the roadmap of your life? So we really help people identify the answer of what's important to them, what they believe, and why they believe it. And you cannot believe how many people out there have no idea what they stand for or what they believe. So the first is the convictions. Second, Diane, is your critical thinking skills. And one of the greatest gifts that my PhD gave me was the ability to critically think and research. And I tell people, if you can't cite it, don't write it. You have to follow the money. That's what's going on right now. We are believing people that are being funded by the research that they are sharing. This is an incredible ethical and financial conflict of interest. But we just believe them without even questioning. So you really want to make sure that your critical thinking skills are really finely tuned, and they get better with age. And then lastly, when you know what you believe and you've done your research, you have the courage to stand by your convictions. You have the courage to speak up and share with others who will listen. Hey, this is why I believe it, why you don't need to live in fear, why you don't have to believe the lies anymore. And it's a tremendous way to live. And it makes you kind of an odd duck. But I'll tell you what, that's the only way to live right now, because the amount of turmoil and chaos and hopelessness and a rise in addiction and suicide is because people are hopeless and lost. And we're not meant to live that way. And you don't have to live that way. But it takes work. It takes work. And it takes courage, but you grow it and you can do it, and you hang around with other people that can pave the way.
Right. I so appreciate this, because you're right. You know, if you look around, a lot of people are feeling like lost and hopeless and feeling like their life is taken away as they've known it, but they don't realize that it's their choice, right? It's all about choices. It's about when you know why you're here, and when you explore that, like you said, you need to really look at, okay, I'm here for a purpose, right? We're spiritual beings here living this world, and we are so much more powerful than sometimes we actually give ourselves credit for. But when we sit in that, and like you said, doing that research, being able to look, everything is there, right? For those who have eyes that see and ears that hear, it's all there right in front of us. You know, you have talked about that identifying your fears must be done before you identify your goals. So let's talk a little bit about those fears.
Well, there's a duality in everything in life. Good, evil, light, dark, intrinsic, extrinsic, motivation, discipline. So I tell people, you cannot set goals until you unpack what has been holding you back. Because we are, I believe we have the imago seed, the God seed in us. And if you don't believe in God, then you believe we evolved out of something over 6 billion years. So either way, we're pretty spectacular, okay? So you have to get to a point where you realize that we can unpack what we've got inside of us. And once you realize that, this duality, you have to go ahead and understand that you can unpack it, you can figure it out.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you and I both also talk a lot about, you know, reframing and, you know, changing the brain. And there's so many different things. And, you know, there is the brain reacts the same way in real threats versus perceived threats, right? It has the same effect on how we are. So being able to look at, and especially kind of looking behind the curtain of what's happening in the world today, you know, yes, there are real threats, but there's also a lot of BS that's happening out there that we have to distinguish between what those things are.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite books, and I'm rereading it again for the listeners out there, is Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz, Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And for those of you that haven't read it, a brilliant plastic surgeon over 40 years finally realized after fixing people on the outside, some of them it would transition to the inside, but a huge swath of them still saw themselves as ugly from the outside. Now, that has nothing to do with the size of your nose or the gap between your teeth or whatever. That has something to do with your self-identity and your self-image. And so we really work with people to say, okay, this is the fears. This is what's holding you back. Because again, if you didn't have this fear, you would have already been achieving your goal, because we're brilliant creatures. We're evolutionary creatures. We are the smartest animal on the planet. And like I said, if you have a theological bent, we're made in God's image. So what is it that's holding you back? And so we can only process so much. And before you take on the great goal, you have to let go of things. And Willie Jolly told me one time, there's three things in life. Okay, there's our imprinting, and there's our influences, and there's our inspirations. So a lot of us, before we get to the goal, we have to understand maybe there's something that our genetic imprint, like I got my dad's vitamin E, vitamin enthusiasm. Okay. And then I have the spiritual gifting of fortitude. So I have these things genetically and spiritually gifted to me, but some people, they may not have that. They may be more coded with more, tend to be more of a negative personality, or they grew up in and were imprinted with people that told them no. We hear about father wounds and abandonment and mother wounds. So we have to unpack a lot of this before we get to the goal, and we have to peel off these lies that society has told us even today and go ahead and do it. Case in point, Diane, you know, you talked about, hey, here's what we control. So where I was earlier today, because I got my blood drawn, I went to LabCorp and got my blood taken again for my COVID antibody test. Okay. So I want to, I don't live in fear. I want to know the body's a beautiful thing. It's a strong thing. And if you take care of it, it will take care of you. I want to know where I stand. I take my immune boosters. I do everything I can to take care of my health, so I don't have to walk around in fear.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and you know, our bodies, anything the body encounters, the body can heal. And so when we come from that foundational place of knowing we are in charge of our immune system, you know, we are the ones that get to choose what kind of health that we want to have by our actions and the things that we're doing. And to your point about, you know, what, how we show up, and we may have more of a positive or negative slant in the world, we can change that. Right. And when we make a choice that we want to live a more positive life, that we want to have more freedom in our life, we want to live more at choice and do the things we want to do, it's a choice. Right. And once you make that choice, you can have some support from coaches. You can, you know, be around more positive people, choose to have more positive conversations. It's one of the reasons we have this conversation here today, so that people can realize there are positive conversations being had. There are ways to look at the world in a different way, and to be able to make different choices with what that looks like and how it is. And, you know, part of what our intention in helping the listeners is taking from our experience, you know, you in the military, myself with the police department, where we could have a plan, but to also have contingency plans, right? Oh. To be able to shift those things and make them change. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of having not only a plan, but a contingency plan?
Well, absolutely. And I love that you brought up your service with your dedication. And one of the things I realized through all this, especially through COVID, is what is really driving this? And if it's, it can't be a fear of bad health, because you look at America where, come on now, okay, people don't care about their health. I look at people scolding me or whatever that are in horrific health or smoking, and I'm like, this is cognitive I'm not understanding what is going right on here. But the contingency plans with the military is one of the things we realized with the military is, I know at any moment when I get the call, you knew in your business too, you got to be comfortable with death. If you're not comfortable with death, you can't live. And that's right. What's going on in the world right now. And by the way, the good book says it's appointed unto each once to die. Unless you were Moses or Elijah, we're all going to die. Even if you beat this virus and it never happens again, guess what? Even Lazarus, after he was healed from the dead, he still passed away. So it's one of these things. First of all, I think you have to get comfortable with it. Then you can make contingency plans, because otherwise, if you are so scared of the loss of your life, you can't even make a contingency plan, because you're in fight or flight or survival mode. And so when you are comfortable with anything that's going to happen, contingency plans, I always assume everything's going to go horribly wrong, and I have tons of backup plans. And 99% of the time, they don't go wrong. But if they do, I'm ready for it. And I think the people that really get knocked over the hardest in life are the ones that don't expect anything to go wrong. And I'm like, my goodness, it's life. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. Life's not fair. I don't care whether you believe in God or not. All you got to do is look around at the world and understand. So contingency plans is so important. Control what you can control. Unpack your fears and identify them. You said it earlier, are they real or are they perceived? And if they're just perceived, read tremendous books, because that diet, just like everything I put into my body, builds my robust immune system. Everything I put into my mind keeps my mind transformed and not conformed to the ways of the world. So it's just so important. And then contingency plan, always have a backup plan, because there are some things, no matter what you plan for, that are going to happen that are beyond your control, or God or whatever, you know, has something that's going to happen to either make you a more mature person, take you through something so you can be a blessing to somebody else, or life just happens. And into everybody's life, some rain must fall. So I'm a big believer in contingency plans. I really got caught off guard. And I love looking at every possible scenario and arguing against the worst possible scenario. And then I go, is there anything I can do if this worst possible scenario happens? I do it. And then you can confidently make decisions and live life knowing that all you can do is the best you can do.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, I think it's so important for people to have the mindset of looking at worst case scenarios, because, you know, a lot of times the worst case scenario doesn't happen. But when you've actually thought it through and you've looked at, well, what am I going to do and what does it look like for me? I can remember, like, you know, at different times, I don't do it as much now that I'm retired, but, you know, I remember just like driving down the street going, okay, if a car went in front of me and two robbers came out with guns and, you know, there were, you know, hostages, and what direction they would run in. Would I follow in my car? Would I get on foot? You know, do I have a rate? Like, I would look at all the scenarios of what I would do. What is safest for me? What's safest for the people around me? And so I would literally go through these scenarios so that if something did happen in front of me, I would already pre-know, what am I going to do? What is the direction? It's the same thing. You know, I tell people, if you're going to be a gun owner, you know, make sure you know how to use it. Be trained in it, because if not, it'll most likely be used against you. So you want to make sure that you're doing all the training, all the looking of things. If you find that you are, you know, when we look at taking care of our health, we want to take care of, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all the different layers of health. And if you feel like you're not that strong of a person, this might be a good time that you start taking some self-defense classes. You start doing some things so that you start building up your resiliency, your ability to, you know, face things and be stronger. And the more we can do that by looking at the different scenarios can make a huge difference. And also, as we're making these plans, we don't want to make these plans when we are in fear. It's a difference. You and I were talking about the brain and how the brain works. And you'd mentioned about the you know, fight or flight scenario. If you are in a fearful state, you are not going to be, you're not even capable of making good decisions, because your brain, also known as the amygdala, that part of you that is fearful, cannot even think of good solutions. So you want to get to an executive state, a place where you're calm, where you can, you know, have good breathing, get, you know, have that clear thinking so you can make plans from that clear space. So, you know, having the awareness and knowing where you're at is a really, really important place to be and be able to look at things. So I would love, Tracy, you talk about, you know, what is really at stake with our loss of freedoms.
Oh, everything. I mean, what isn't at stake? Our ability to go out and work and achieve everything that we were put on this planet to do. When we are not in a free enterprise system, we are not free to use our God-given talents. And, you know, we keep hearing about this, you know, equal opportunity, but that does not equal outcome. There will always be people born with different IQs or different talents and skills. And when we lose freedom, and I'm a big sci-fi person, we become like the Borg, the collective, where everybody is squished down. And this is not science fiction. All you have to do is look at other countries and see what they've been under. America is a weird thing that has been going on for 230 plus years, and there has never been another nation afforded this much wealth, prosperity, and freedom on the planet in the history of mankind. So we got to realize this, it is not in human nature for humans to allow other people to live and let live. And we have to protect and we have to really guard this. And anybody that sits there and poo-poos on America, I'm like, you never traveled, did you? You've never lived in another country, have you? No. Okay. All right. Well, why don't you go live someplace else? And you can see absolutely what's going on. My dad would say, I can write a book about what's wrong with America, and I can write a library about what's right about it. Okay. And that's part of what's going down. Strip us down, divide us. We are so worthless as a country. Are you kidding me? Look at our rights, even as women and for children and for education. Are you insane? And that is really frightening that people are becoming so caustic towards this. Look at that, live free or die. That wasn't just a slogan on a t-shirt. People fought and died. Our military goes and fights and dies for other people, for their freedom. This is a very strange thing. So when we lose freedom, and I look at everything going on now, we are already in trouble with the thought police, and censorship is modern day book burning. And that's what Stalin and Hitler and everybody did. I don't want the dissenting view. It's going to be dogma. How dare you question? And that people sit there and say science. It's not science. It's political science. It's a narrative. And lastly, Diane, you know, in our human nature, the Bible says the heart of man is wicked. Who can know its ways? And that's like, well, that's not very nice to God. God knew. God knows us. And intrinsically in our heart is this need to exhibit dominion and power over one another. So when somebody says, I'm here from the government, I'm here to help, it ain't to help, it's to control. And that's even in America. There's something, a character mount, it's called sin, pride. And we need to wake up and realize if we don't fight for this, we're going to be living in a very a different space, and it's going to be nothing like what we're used to. So I can't say it enough. 2022 is the voice for courageous leaders to say, all right, enough, enough. And right. We cannot, because you don't walk freedom back once you lose it. And travel, see other countries, talk to other countries about, look at history, study history, the recent history, and watch what's going on and really understand our Constitution and what that totally affords people. And that is, you know, I know Israel is the chosen nation, but boy, God sure had his hand on America when he set us up for this.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and, you know, as we look at, you know, our freedoms and what we have available to us, and coming from that grateful heart, because, you know, every time I come back into this country, when I've traveled, it's like, thank God, right? There's just so many amazing things that we take for granted that we don't see. And a lot of times it's not till it's taken that we really understand. And, you know, to also realize a greater, you know, narrative, and not from a place of conspiracy theory, because it's not a conspiracy theory if it's true, right? But you start looking at how people are being divided. Like, if you are actually in a room of people, people are really, they want to be, you know, liked, they want to help each other. They want, you know, we have a lot of the same basic things as far as wanting the best for our families, for our communities. I mean, there are more things that actually bring us together. But if you would look at things like, you know, the media, and it looks like everyone's always, you know, against each other. And we need to step above that, above those, that noise. And even if somebody doesn't agree with, and it doesn't matter if there is, you know, they agree or not agree, hear what they have to say, because there's always a grain of truth in everything. There's always something to see and look at a different point of view. We evolve with the different type of outlooks and opinions. And, you know, a lot of things that we talk about come from our own experience, right? And if we don't continue to have bigger conversations and, you know, all-inclusive conversations, we don't get to see what's really happening and what's going on. We're only get what we're being told is happening. Well, that's so you the, have to actually take a stand and, and be able to listen to that.
Well, that is the whole hypocrisy of everything going on right now. You preach diversity, but not diversity of thought, because censorship silences diversity of thought. And so we're all saying, oh, we need everybody to be said and we want to be kinder. No, you don't. You just silenced. You just told people, I'm ripping away your platform. You're not even valued enough. This should really concern people, because if they come for others, they'll come for you. I just watched Steven Spielberg's interview with 5 Hungarian Jews that had survived the Holocaust. Don't think they're coming for you. Don't think they won't come for you. You got another, you don't understand human nature. So this should really, it doesn't matter if you know, hate speech isn't something that you don't like. Hating what somebody's point of view, and that's such an ugly word, you still cannot, we cannot go down this road. And the censorship that I hope more and more people will wake up to the hypocrisy of it, because when you watch 1984, when you get to call the shots on what's fact and what's truth and what's misinformation, that's the thought police. That's 1984. Go watch that movie again. You'll see it. And that's what's going on right now. And it's just, it's really, I never thought in my lifetime. And, but if we allow it, in human nature, people have a desire to be controlled. Good leaders don't want to step up because they don't want to deal with the vilification and what they're going to go through. And number three, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So you just gotta be, Paul said, wise as serpents, and you just got to understand human nature and just be very savvy and aware of what's going on.
Right. Well, you know, and it's interesting that word power, because so many times, because we've seen the misuse of power, we look at it in a very negative way. And one of the things we like to talk about here is that you are your own power. Instead of looking at power outside of you, you know, we have God-given power within us. We can discern, like we have knowingness. We have to just be able to take the time to listen to that. And, you know, you and I talked too about Romans 12:2. About renewing of the mind, right? And we have to look at that, being transformed by that, where, you know, by doing that, by looking at what's in our mind, right? To analyze that. This is the beauty we have as human creatures, to be able to look at our thoughts, to see, are they my thoughts? Are they things that, you know, people have been saying in the world and we're adopting them? But we get that whole idea where we get to distinguish that. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about how, you know, just because things are coming up, and whether they're fears or we're hearing things, that we don't have to act on those things.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody thinks, well, feelings drives everything. And that's not true. The mind, as a man thinketh, drives, and Napoleon Hill, the Bible, everybody, it starts here, and then it goes to emotions, and then it goes to behaviors. So if you're feeling afraid, okay, back it up. It starts up here with the power of thought, and you need to eradicate that. You need to turn off this diet of whatever you're digesting. You need to get to the core truth and not believe, you know, it's the old, don't follow the masses, because sometimes the M is silent. You need to really look at what you're watching and listening to, because your brain has to be transformed. But remember, Diane, that's my life verse, Romans 12:2, but we cannot be transformed until the first part is, don't be conformed to this world. So first of all, you have to have that force field. You have to have your core convictions. You have to have your belief in either you're your own God. And I tell people that if you're your own God, what's it matter? Just go out and live you know, you're going back to the dustbin. What are you scared about? But there's something else that they have not unpacked. And they know that, because we all have a soul hole and a spirit. Whether you admit it or not, it's a fact. It's why we're even, dogs and animals aren't running around scared of COVID. Only we are. Why? Because we're scared to die. Okay. That's a weird thing that mankind has. Let's unpack that. Why are you scared to die? What is it? And so we go back to your core convictions. And when you understand in your head, if your emotions are out of whack, there's something still in your head that needs worked out in your subconscious. And you have to either go to God, get in the books, and you have to nail it down for once and for all and plant your flag. And that's why we talk about convictions, and then do your critical thinking. And then you have the courage, then your emotions follow. But if you're scrambled up here, or you're weak-minded, or as the Bible says, you're double-minded, you're unstable in everything. And it shows, because your emotions are a complete erratic, manic bundle.
Right. Well, speaking of being, you know, at choice and being able to choose and you know, live your life the way you want, one of the fun things I like to ask my guests is that we live life differently in our bedroom versus our kitchen or our office. What is your favorite room in your home and why?
Oh my gosh. Well, my home is such a blessing. I have like a Pittsburgh Steelers gym. I have like a wine cellar from living in Europe, where I have a beautiful pool table. I would have to say the library. I have this beautiful library with a fireplace. It looks out into 22 acres of woods, and I see the turkeys and the deer coming up. And of course, I have the wisdom of the ages there. I have a great multitude of witnesses. I just go in there, and it's so cozy, so comfy. It would have to be my library.
I love it. So great. Well, I know our listeners are going to want to stay in contact with you. How can they do that?
Well, the best way to do that is you can go to tremendousleadership.com and all our social media, to include LinkedIn, very active on LinkedIn, and Facebook and the other social media platforms. We have a YouTube channel, Tremendous Life Books, which is my father's material. Tremendous Leadership is our interviews, our podcasts, our authors, but tremendousleadership.com, or Tracy with an E, TracyCJones.com. And I would love to connect with our listeners. You know, my dad always said that you're going to be the same person 5 years from now, except for the people you meet and the books you read. So that's our passion in life, is the more tremendous people you meet and the more tremendous books you read, the more tremendous your life is going to be.
Wonderful. I love that. And let's just end here with any final thoughts. You know, our theme here is people who are, you know, fighting for freedom. In what ways are you fighting for freedom in our world today?
Oh, I love it. Well, if you want to really fight for freedom, I am fighting for freedom intellectually. I'm fighting for freedom, religious freedom, the power for anybody to worship. And that is really tremendously under threat. I'm fighting for the freedom to be able to earn a living and take care of myself and not have to take care of the people that don't want to work. So equity, you know what I'm saying? Let's be fair, and let's let the people, that everybody should be taught something and industrious to work. One of the greatest books I ever read about freedom was Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Okay. Mm-hmm. He found meaning and freedom living in one of the concentration camps, because he found a purpose. Find your purpose. And when you find your purpose, and your purpose is not going to be living on the government dole and just criticizing your beautiful country, that's not a valuable purpose. Okay. You need to be giving back. You need to find something that you can be a wonderful addition to the big ball of humanity and make the world a better place.
Love it so much. Thank you so much, Tracy, for here and sharing your wisdom and all the things that you're doing in the world to give back. I just want to thank our listeners for being here and sharing your time here with us. And until we connect again, live your spa life and stand in your freedom. Bye for now.
Thank you for being part of the Live Your Spa Life show. It is my intention for you to receive the one message meant for you today, and that you'll share it with at least one person who also needed to hear this message. Be sure to subscribe to the show so that you get alerted to each new show that's posted. I would so appreciate your 5-star review and any comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics. As a thank you, I'd love to share a complimentary resource with you. You can get it at dianehoffman.com/crisis. With all of the uncertainty in the world, you may be facing many different types of crisis. This resource will help you to not only avoid crisis, but when you are faced with one, to move through it much more smoothly. Remember, power doesn't happen outside of you. You are your own power. Living a life of faith, joy, and freedom is there for you if you choose it.